Well, with Christmas and that, let's get to the real stuff, the message. So if you turn to Isaiah, with Christmas coming upon us, we always kind of get messages about the virgin birth. But it's a sign. And what a sign. But it's a unique sign. Generally, like Jesus did many signs. And the signs are done immediately. So this is kind of an unusual thing in that case, where a sign is given, but it doesn't apply to right then. So it's kind of unique in that regard. But it is a sign for that time, but obviously enduring. So what's to understand from that? It's pretty amazing. So you turn to Isaiah, and we'll kind of get a little background with chapter 1, but also have a finger in John, because there is a tie with John, which is amazing, John 12. So if you just have a finger there, we'll turn to there when we get to that. But chapter 8 of Isaiah, you don't have to turn there. We'll kind of try to get that there in scope, but not reading it everything. But Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah speaks of himself here. It says, "Behold," and then this is Isaiah 8:18. "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion." So Isaiah himself is a sign, and his sons. So we've got signs going on all over the place with this, which is amazing. Well, let's just start with Isaiah 1, get to the feel for it. "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of four kings." So you have a person, his son, his grandson, and his great-grandson going on. "The reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." Now, three of these four, they did right in the sight of the Lord. One did not. His name is Ahaz. Ahaz is the one who receives the sign we're talking about, the one who did not do right in the sight of the Lord. And in fact, so wickedly that he moved the altar, the bronze altar in front of the house of the Lord, the temple, to the north, away from the doorway, so he could put the altar of the gods of Damascus to call upon that. He eventually would close the doors of the house of the Lord. At his death, they didn't want to bury him with the other kings. They buried him in Jerusalem, but not with the kings. So you see the person he is. This is who receives this sign we're going to get to. But to get a feel for the layout, Isaiah starts his whole book of Isaiah this way. He says, "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks." It's a big deal. The Lord is speaking. "Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. Where will you be stricken again? Are you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint." So let's skip down now to verse 9. unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would be like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of red cattle. So let's now jump down to verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So just coming that far, we see the landscape of Isaiah's whole ministry, basically. He's starting off with a pre-summary. But this is who he's going to be dealing with. Not a obliging crowd to be witnessing to. A people that's the Lord isn't having a very good relationship either. But the Lord is reaching out to them. You get that grace and mercy that he's having. Come now, let us reason together with a people that's not wanting to reason together, but he's wanting to. And so there's this remnant. That's the key to this here too. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, remnant. This begins what the Lord is going to be working with. That he wants Israel in this day and age to know that there is a remnant of all humanity, basically, we'll find out. But it's starting with Israel that the Lord will work with. And look at this future. Go to chapter 4 here, if we go over there. But before we get there, chapter 2, you have to get this. The word which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law of the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. They will hammer their swords and plowshare into plowshares, and their spears hammer into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. But then the next verse, look at that. That's the future. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are lifted up with influences from the east. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. So you see what's going on now. But there's a great future being shown. Now to chapter 4 and verse 2. In that day, again, future. In that day, the branch of the Lord. Here's the first identifying of an individual now. The branch of the Lord, but as a people first, there'll be a remnant, but there'll be a branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and adornment of the survivors of Israel. And it will come about that he who is left in Zion, the remnant, will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. Sounds like Exodus, but it's going to be the future, the beginning kingdom there. For over all the glory will be a canopy, and there will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. So that's a layout of the future, but dealing with the present. The real come, let's reason together is be part of the remnant. The Lord has not abandoned, but you are not listening. You aren't wanting to come to the Lord. So now chapter 6. Got to have this for the real setting here. And we said that Isaiah is a sign. Well, his name means, it's kind of literal put as the Lord is salvation. But there's this implication, though, of, I looked at that, and it's more like he saves. So yes, the Lord is salvation, but he, the Lord, saves. So the person is in view, the person of the Lord. He's a real living God. So that is in view. When we deal with the Lord, he's not a God made up from men. He's a person. He, by his nature, saves. So he knows who he's dealing with. Not dealing with people who want to be saved. He's dealing with people. And the Lord saves. So that's the first sign to realize here. So, chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, remember that was kind of the beginning of Isaiah's ministry. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting on a throne, holy and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. And with two, a seraphim would be covered with two of the wings. He covered his face. Two, he covered his feet. With two, he flew. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I, Isaiah, said, "Woe is me, for I'm ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips." Just being in the presence of this vision of the Lord, he realized I'm in his presence, and it exposes everything about me. And I'm a prophet. I'm on the Lord's side. But woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So keep your finger here. And remember, we wanted to go to John. So go to John 12 for something really awesome. And go to, excuse me, go to verse 44. Let's see, am I at the right spot? No, I'm sorry, went too far. Verse 36, went too far there. So verse 36 of chapter 12, Jesus speaking, while you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. And that end of quote there, Jesus then left the crowd setting. John then, and realize he's writing years later, so John fills in things he now knows based on what was happening then. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them, from those people. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Now, firstly, he's going to quote Isaiah 53. Here's how that chapter begins. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause, John now speaking again, for this cause they could not believe, for Isaiah said again in chapter 6. The quote we're going to get to, but realize what's, I'm giving you a foretaste here. For this cause they could not believe, for Isaiah said again in chapter 6, he, the Lord, has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. Notice chapter or verse 41. These things Isaiah said because he, Isaiah, saw his, Jesus' glory. And he spoke of him. So who this is that's speaking, going now back to chapter 6 of Isaiah, is incredible. When he says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. That is Jesus. John says so, that he saw his glory. So this is where this is going. And we're going to get to the sign of the virgin conceiving and bearing a son. So he who's on the throne is going to be the sign himself, born of a virgin. I mean, this is just mind-boggling. So let's go on here. So after Isaiah said that, then one of the seraphim with that woe being, woe is me, I'm ruined. I've got unclean lips. How can I be a part of this holiness? So verse 6 of Isaiah 6, then one of the seraphim from the presence of the Lord flew to me, but with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Obviously, this is temporary because just a sign wouldn't do that, but the Lord himself would save. So it's foreshadowing. From the Lord would come salvation. And that's why Isaiah's name is important. The Lord, he himself saves. And he's offering this pre kind of atonement, you might say, from the Lord, which will be realized in Jesus himself, which Isaiah is going to get to. Isaiah 53, the atonement. Jesus will be, the arm of the Lord will be the atonement. And so now going on, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I, Isaiah, now in it with a new heart of now with a relationship with the Lord, he now is motivated. He said, then I said, here I am, here am I, send me. And he, the Lord said, go and tell this people. Now the quote from John. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I, Isaiah, said, Lord, how long? How long is this going to go on? Then the Lord answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, a remnant, and it will again be subject to burning like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. So now we get to, with that setting, several kings later, now it's Ahaz is now the king. So now it came about in the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Aram, that's Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, that's the northern 10 tribes of Israel and the king, they went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not conquer it. When it was reported to the house of David, that's King Ahaz, saying, the Arameans, the Syrians, have camped in Ephraim. His heart, that was the statement, the Arameans, Syrians, have camped in Ephraim. Well, that's northern Israel. His, Ahaz's, heart and the hearts of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, you go out now to meet Ahaz, you and your son, Shear-Jashub. His name, Shear-Jashub, means a remnant shall return. So they're for signs. Isaiah is a sign with his son. So the father and son are told to go and speak to Ahaz. But where? At a specific spot. It's a spot like the Lord draws an X that you're to stand on and give this sign. He says, go to the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field and say to him. Now that spot is now for a godly prophet going to give a message to an ungodly king. We won't go there, but in chapter 36, with a godly king who is Ahaz's son, who is Hezekiah, he is going to be confronted from ungodly people from Assyria standing at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, going to say, why are you trusting in all these gods that I've conquered the nations of? Why do you think you can stand against my power? So that's going to be what will happen in Hezekiah's day. It's a complete flip. Now we're getting godly prophets now witnessing to an ungodly king. And now go there and say this. Here is God's instructions on what to do. So no sign has been given yet. There's an instruction that's given, and God usually backs that up with a sign about that. Here's what they are to do. Take care and be calm. So stop shaking like the trees in fear. Take care, be calm, have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted because of these two people who you're afraid of, who God now calls two stubs of smoldering firebrands. And if you have a firebrand, you're usually going to mark your animals. And that's what, it's like a king. He's going to take for mine from this nation. But now here's these two stubs. Well, that means, boy, you've used that so much, now it's just down to a stub. And it's a smoldering firebrand. So you've put it in the water and it's done for its job. Not going to use it anymore. So that's how the Lord sees these two kings. It's not happened yet, but the Lord is going to stop their encroachment into Jerusalem. So this is how the Lord views them. Those two who, on account of their fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, that's Rezin is the king of Syria, and the son of Remaliah. That man's name is Pekah. The Lord doesn't even say his name because he's an ungodly person, has no recognition by the Lord, just the son of Remaliah. Because Aram, that's Syria, with Ephraim, that's northern Israel, and the son of Remaliah has planned evil against you. Because they've done this, because they have planned evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrorize it, and make for ourselves a breach in its walls, and set up for ourselves the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. It's not going to happen. For the head of Aram, that Syria, is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Now within another 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered, so that it will no longer be a people. That's northern Israel. They won't be a people anymore. And this is the Lord saying that. So it's not going to be altered. It's going to happen. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. Now, here's the really awesome part that gives me goosebumps and chills. If you will not believe, you surely shall not last. That's the statement to Ahaz. That's what then prompts the sign. But that statement, that's the bone-chilling part because of the knowledge of the remnant. To really last, to really be remaining, you need to be part of the remnant. And so it's a double negative. If you will not believe, you surely will not last. Where Jesus is always saying, believe and be saved. It's the positive for everything. Believe and be saved. And this is what the remnant would respond to. But then Jesus also will say the other too. If you won't believe, you won't. So it's both. But this is really bone-chilling because the vision that Isaiah had was of Jesus himself in that glory where he was before coming down. So then, next, then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself. Normally, the person asks for the sign. Normally. But as with Elijah, King Ahab, Elijah would just do the sign and show you the Lord is in control, not you. And then there will be a fire from heaven to consuming the altar in Elijah's day. But here, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But then Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. So then he, Isaiah, said, listen now, O house of David. But he's speaking on behalf of the Lord, obviously. The Lord is instructing here. Then he said, listen now, O house of David, is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He will eat curds. See, it goes on. It doesn't just stop there. It goes on. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. So it appears like this virgin birth would occur right then. And he would eat curds and honey, and those two kings would be gone. That's what's amazing, is the Lord does not do this sign in that time period. But in chapter 8, we get to what, and this keeps on going through chapter 7. In fact, a couple more verses here will do. The Lord will bring on you, on your people, and on your father's house such days as have never come since the day that Ephraim departed, separated from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. So you see now, because you've rejected this sign, there's going to be difficulties on you. Yes, I'm going to do what I said, the Lord said. They won't come against Jerusalem and take it forever, but the impacts of it you will feel, because you didn't listen. And so he's bringing the king of Assyria. And then it deals with the difficulties involved with that. Now go to chapter 8. It says, so now Isaiah has kind of left the scene, but it's still in this close proximity to time frame. It says, then the Lord said to me, take for yourself a large tablet and write on it, in ordinary letters, swift is the booty, speedy is the prey. And I, the Lord, will take to myself faithful witnesses for testimony, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. So I, Isaiah, approached the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. So there's a birth to a son, but it's not virgin, but it's going to live out the timeline and eat the curds and the honey talked about for timeline's sake. So, and again, then the Lord said to me, name him, give him a special name, Maher Shalal Hashbaz. What does that mean? It means, go up a bit where the Lord said, swift is the booty, speedy is the prey. That's what his name means. He's for a sign. For before the boy knows how to cry out, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria. So Israel won't be there anymore. So they're not a part of the remnant. There may be some isolated believers there, but as a whole, no, gone. So then verse 5, and again the Lord spoke to me further, saying, inasmuch as these people have rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloah. That's how the Lord views his word and his own future for them. And rather they rejoice in Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Now therefore, behold, the Lord is about to bring on them strong and abundant waters of the Euphrates, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. Then it will sweep on into Judah, it will overflow and pass through, It will reach even to the neck, that's to Jerusalem itself, and the spread of its Assyria's wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. So here's Emmanuel mentioned. So he will have a land. He will be coming, but not now. But it's his land. And here's the statement about it. Here's, be broken, O peoples, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. Take a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. So God repeats this, God with us, and Emmanuel, after giving the sign, but we know the sign will come, and that is Jesus himself, fulfilled, as Matthew says. This fulfilled Isaiah, that the virgin will conceive and bear a son, call his name Emmanuel, even though God calls him Jesus, Yeshua, which is the Lord, my salvation. The Lord calls him the Lord, salvation, as opposed to Isaiah, he saves, because he saves, but now he is the Lord who does save. So with that, with time, there's so much we could get to, but look, this whole from chapter 8, it goes to chapter 12. In chapter 9, we have, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and a peace that will be no end, even on the throne of David, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Then it ends up in chapter 11. Then in that day, the branch, the stem of Jesse will rise up and he will be the king of the kingdom. So this has a view all the way to the kingdom with revelation about Emmanuel. Emmanuel now as a son who is born with all this title and now who is the ruler with the Spirit of the Lord on him with a breastplate of righteousness and girdle of truth. So he is the king. So with that, let's pray. Time is short. Father, we thank you for your promises, all realized in your own Son, but yet you, Jesus, in awesomeness, being the revealer of those very promises. We are humbled in your presence. We are thankful for you to be at work in us. As Paul says in Philippians, that we now work out our salvation in fear and trembling, knowing that God is at work in us, both to will and to work for your good pleasure. And for that we thank you, Lord, and thank you for your grace and mercy to equip us, to mold and shape us into your own image. Thank you for this day, and we pray for those dealing with all the trials that go on, and yet with your help in our lives. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.